T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I'm not saying the guy isn't entertained. I just don't get the appeal of it.
For sex and beer. Sex
got and a gimmick,
beer,
though.
Sex and beer are the two things we hold dear. Sex and beer.
That guy, he's found his gimmick. And he's riding it out, man. He's riding the storm out. Yes. He's gonna play that gimmick till it no longer ends.
Why don't you follow this guy around instead of Ario?
Yeah, people probably do.
You know what?
I bet he goes to this every night because he performed like in Janesville and in Muskego. I bet you there was guys who drove to Janesville to see him.
How much do you think it would cost us if we wanted Pat McCurdy to come in and play the music in and out of our breaks? Live in studio. For one show.
I don't know.
$50?
No.
$50 and a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, Bart's bigger breakfast.
Yeah. I'll take him out to Perkins after.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what? All that for $7.99?
I'll tell you.
Hell, I'll be there all week.
He's found a way to entertain and keep it going. And stand the test of time.
I was sick on St. Patrick's Day, so right now is my St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
just these 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I've had enough of Pat McCurdy. So, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, speaking of that, we gotta get to Drew quick.
Who?
Drew's in Brookfield. We gave him our final four picks.
Oh, wait, no. I gave him.
Yes, I bowed out of that completely.
All right. So, Drew, you asked me on Thursday to help you out with your pool. And I told you Michigan State was going to win it all. And I did think of you when Michigan State lost when they got beat. I'm sorry.
You owe Drew $100.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with you, Chuck, man.
I told you not to hold it against me.
But before yesterday's games, I was like, wow, all my Elite Eights are intact. Like, Chuck knows what he's talking about. And all of a sudden, Michigan State goes down. Cincy goes down. You see, I'm just like, no, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, that's okay. The Chuck Freeman it's special. Not, you think he sounds smart.
No, well, no.
And then it all comes crashing down.
No. You know something? Okay, tell me, am I way off base to beat Michigan State or Cincinnati? Who saw that coming? Who saw Syracuse
you
barely
base
got
or
in?
Not, you
Syracuse.
Were wrong.
Well, yes, I was wrong, but so was everybody
cost
else.
This guy money.
So was everybody else doing this tournament. I told them.
I've got
I
Kansas
gave them
alive. I've got Nova in my final.
Well, then you should have had enough balls to give your picks away, and I did at least. I said yeah, Cincinnati. I mean, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Something people made fun of me when I picked Butler a few years ago to
Freems.
The Final Four, and Butler
made
went
a
to the
right
national
pick
championship.
Since, man.
I won the pool last year. I won a pool last year. So,
Drew, send
sorry.
The invoice to 11800.
So what did I pick?
West Grange, Hales Corners.
Did I pick any right for you, Drew?
You got Nova, but I mean that's like the only like obvious.
Okay, who would you have picked if I didn't help you out? Who would you have picked?
I honestly would have stuck with Michigan State, but
okay.
Then I probably would have gone with. I would have gone with Xavier, honestly.
Oh, that would have been worse.
Hey, what'd I tell you about Xavier, though? I told you don't take Xavier. I was right on that one.
You did take Xavier.
And I told you to Villanova. So I picked two of the four correctly.
This whole tournament, no one could have seen any of this coming. Nobody.
Hey, then I tell you not to take Virginia? I was right about that one, too.
You were there, yes.
So I guess I'm not an idiot. I told you not to take Virginia. I said take Villanova. I said don't take Xavier. So there you go.
But you're still 1-for-4. So.
How am I 1-for-4?
You only gave me Nova out of the four you gave me, right?
But I told you not to take. I told you don't take Xavier. I told you don't take Virginia.
All right,
yeah, but you
so
told me to pick UNC, Cincy, and Michigan State. But
Yeah, well, who thought UNC was going to get cold at the end of that game?
Well, hey, if you ever want to get 25% of your Final Four picks still alive after the first weekend, call a sports radio station because we'll help you out.
Hey, you know what?
There you go.
We're never right.
Drew, our apologies. That's why I bowed out of that one.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind. But I knew when I Michigan State went down yesterday to Syracuse, it's like, man, I thought about Drew's pool. I thought, man, I gave him that, but I also told him, don't take Virginia or don't take Xavier.
Now, the pick that I – see, I – in the bracket that I'm doing well in, because I only filled out two or three, but I took Nova, Kansas, UNC, and I had them to the final, but Kentucky. And there were three teams I liked coming into the tournament to make a little bit of a run. One did not. That was Oklahoma. I like Syracuse to make a run. I took them over Michigan State. Michigan State has not won this tournament since 2000.
Yeah.
People give them way too much credit, I feel.
Because they keep winning Big Ten titles? Is that why they give it to
him? Because he's Mr. March. He's Mr. March. That's fine.
How many Final Fours he's been to?
But they don't win it ever. So I thought, you know what? The tide's going to turn. And Syracuse, I like taking one of those teams from that first four. So Syracuse is the team I rode there. And I also like Kentucky because Kentucky was a team that everybody's doubting. They end up winning their conference tournament, and now they're at the 5 seed in a bracket where the 1, 2, 3, 4 are all gone.
Do you realize the last time Michigan State won a national championship, Tom Crean was an assistant with Tom Izzo at Michigan State? That's how long it's been. Now, look how many Final
it's
Fours.
A long time.
But look how many Final Fours. 2000, 2001, 2005, 2009, 2010, 2015. I'll take that run any day. Yeah, they haven't won it all since 2000, but hell, who wouldn't take the run that Tom Izzo's had at Michigan State?
I should have went with Gonzaga in that bracket. I like them. They had a close game week one, but their first game, and then looked pretty good against Ohio State late at the end.
I like them. I'm trying to pull up the latest bracket here.
Yeah, who do we – let's do that now. Who do we like? Let's talk about who we like going forward.
Okay, now where can I pull up the latest bracket?
5HourEnergyBrackets.com.
There we go. Of course. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
5-Hour Energy Brackets. Here we go. Let's click it on. Because I try, went to ESPN – last night, tried looking for a live bracket, couldn't find it. You know, either that or I was looking all over the place, didn't see it. Went to, CBS. It had everything but the live bracket. It's like, why wouldn't they have a simple, updated bracket on it?
I went to Fox Sports. It was a video of Colin Cowherd talking about John Wall.
Yeah! I saw the same thing.
Couldn't find it there.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
All right, I'm pulling it up here. Here we go. How about Loyola can get to the regional final? That's amazing. Who would have Loyola going? You know, even the sister, the 98-year-old team chaplain, didn't have Loyola going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, well.
Did you see that story?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, for a 98-year-old lady, man, she didn't talk like a 98-year-old lady. I mean, she was very active. You know, you would think that she'd be able to say one or two words, but she was quite talkative. All right, so.
Chuck knows how to treat a lady.
Well, much respect to her, too. God, right. If I could only live to 98. Maybe I don't want to live to 98.
South region, you've got Kansas State, Kentucky, Loyola, Nevada. Who comes out of that?
Oh, Kentucky, hopefully not.
Yeah, it'll be Kentucky. West, you've got Florida State, Gonzaga.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Kentucky? Oh, he's had some failures, too.
No, it'll be Kentucky.
Well, we'll bet on that one coming up on this week.
South.
How do we do on our bets, by the way?
I won two or three.
The one I won was Loyola?
No, you won Oklahoma against Rhode Island.
Yeah. That was one of the first ones on Thursday.
I had Michigan covering over Montana.
I was watching that one on my phone at a Taco Bell in Menomonee Falls on Thursday.
And then I won Kentucky over Davidson because the spread was 4.5 and they won by 5. They were up 11 with 30 seconds to go, and then they kept turning the ball over.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were a couple of those type of games. The old Vern Gagne finish where a guy would hit a 3 at the buzzer, cover the point spread.
So you either owe me $75 or $100. We're not sure yet.
How's that?
Because the Jimmy Graham bet I won, these last two bets I won.
Okay.
And then we've got to figure out the Marquette bet. Yeah, well, I owe you some money for that.
You know, go ahead. You're my guest on that one.
Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, Texas A&M. Who comes out of that
one? Oh, Villanova.
Of the four teams, I said.
Who's that?
Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, or Texas A&M.
Oh, I was looking at the wrong bracket. I'll say, boy, that's a – one of those teams is going to go to Final Four. I don't look at any one of those teams being a Final Four type team.
Gonzaga.
No, I didn't. I don't.
I like them.
I don't. I'll say Michigan winning in stunning fashion. Although A&M, man, they just kicked the crap out of Carolina. Did you see that yesterday? That was unreal. Yeah. I'm going to say Michigan's going to go.
Kansas, Clemson, Syracuse, Duke. They're in the Midwest.
Well, I like Michigan State out of this, and that's done.
I like Kansas. I do.
I like that coach at Clemson, Brad Brunell, when he was the coach at Wright State. He was one of those guys, when he's at Wright State, you knew he wasn't going to stay there long. I just don't like Jimmy Boeheim ever to advance. Crusty old angry man. And I can't stand Duke. Bill Self, I hate him too. I'm pulling for Clemson. Even though they're probably, I can't trust them either. But I'll say Kansas.
You got Nova in the East?
I'll say Kansas, and I think Nova in the East. Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler, we're served up by you? Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. From what's left, I'm going to go Kentucky, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Nova.
Now, if there's one team that I'm pulling for,
I'm going to stay with my Final Four. I just have to replace North Carolina with Gonzaga.
If there's anybody I'd pull for, anybody, which I don't normally pull for our teams, and it kills me to say this, Loyola. Because, you know, I hate Chicago teams, but I would be pulling for Loyola.
Yeah, but they're different.
You know, I like their coach, Porter Moser. I dealt with him a few years ago when Green Bay played Illinois State. Very nice guy.
Chuck and Winkler, we got to get to Michael Cohen. We're wasting his time. Yeah. Michael Cohen's about to join us. Kyle Fuller was a Packer for about 2.5 hours, and now he's a Chicago Bear again. What was that all about? We'll talk to Michael Cohen next. Here on The Fan. Sex and me are the two things we hold dear. Sex and me
are the things we like round here. Let's go get it! The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the one, the only Michael Cohen. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, we haven't talked to you, obviously since the Kyle Fuller debacle on Friday, or if it was or wasn't. Was this a right move for the Packers to make, to sign him, and did they help out make things easier on the Bears? Because this all went down in a span of a couple of hours on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, I think the way my colleague Tom Silverstein described it on our podcast this morning was pretty accurate, in that the move sort of seemed like it was a little bit of a desperation attempt by the Packers. You know, you look at the cornerback situation in free agency, and pretty much everybody at the top of the market went really, really fast in a very short span of time. And I don't know if maybe the Packers were blindsided by that, or they just didn't expect things to get as costly as they do for some of the other players. But, you know, this was like, you know, a last resort kind of thing in terms of all the top guys are gone. What can we do? Well, let's try and, you know, sign a guy that's on a transition tag for somebody else. And in terms of making it easier for the Bears, you know, they made the next deal for the Bears pretty affordable, in that, you know, Kyle is owed I think it's $15 million the first year, and it could be up to $29 million after the second year, but there's a way for them to get out of it going into year two if he has a terrible, terrible season. And if he doesn't, then it's still a pretty affordable deal based on what the top corner got this year in free agency. So, you know, basically for an extra $5 million guaranteed, the Bears, you know, locked up a corner for a long time. So in that regard, it was a very friendly deal for the Bears.
When they traded Demarius Randall, the sentiment that I was hearing from people, which I warned against, was, well, they're doing this because they must be in on Richard Sherman. And then he signs. Well, that means they must be in on Johnson. But then he signs. It seemed like, it didn't seem like that they had a plan. They made that move without really a target at cornerback. And now that's kind of, you're seeing what you're seeing. As a, somebody who's a fan, Michael, I'm not jumping off a bridge because I think their cornerback depth is terrible right now, which it is, but they also made that move without having a plan to me, which is why I further question the move that they made to get rid of a guy. I know that he was a problem for some, but he was still your number one corner up to that point.
Now he was, so there's a couple layers to this. So he was, I think, more of a problem in the locker room than people realized. There were a lot of veterans in the room that had issues with Demarius Randall. And so when you start having a conflict with the coaching staff, which was very public against the Bears, and then you have some of the veterans that are frustrated with him, and then you have him at the end of the year questioning the coaching staff again for, you know, not holding players accountable. You know, it was a situation where I think Brian Gutekunst probably just didn't want him around anymore, and maybe Mike McCarthy too, because of, you know, some of the problems that he'd caused. So in that regard, I can understand why they moved him. The other layer to this, and I wasn't aware of this until yesterday, but then I went and read the articles, and sure enough, it's true. He had expressed a desire to move back to safety, and the Cleveland Browns introduced him as a safety. So he is not playing cornerback for them. He is going to try and be their starting free safety. So I don't know if he's gone to the Packers and said, I don't want to play corner anymore, I want to be a safety, or what the situation was. But if you look at the Browns' website and you look at everything, they introduced him as a safety, not a corner.
So the Packers probably didn't have any desire to move him to safety. Is that what you're trying to say?
If he told them that he doesn't want to play corner anymore, then he doesn't have a role on this team, because they don't need him at safety.
Sure, sure. So where do the Packers go from here as far as defensive back? I mean, the House and some of those other ones we threw out there and all that, but are they in a hot water when it comes to that position right now?
Not quite yet. There's a couple of different things that they can do. First of all, they could always trade for somebody's number one corner at any given time, and we don't know, you know, we won't know about it until it happens. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could make a deal tomorrow for one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and we just, you know, that'll happen, and everyone will say, oh, so they did have a plan all along, you know. But the other thing they can do is they can sign a couple veteran guys, Devon House being one of them that I think that they should bring back. And then they can use, of course, their draft pick, their first draft pick on a corner. They can move up probably toward the top 10 if they want to make a trade with somebody, given the extra pieces they acquired in the Demarius Randall trade. And then you never know which other veterans are going to get cut. You know, Orlando Scandrick has been cut. Terrence Newman has been cut. I'm not saying those are the guys that are the answer, but you're going to start to see more and more veteran guys get cut as teams try and shape their salary caps going into next season. So they're not dead in the water yet, but it's certainly, time is certainly dwindling relative to what it was, you know, a week and a half ago.
Michael Cohen, Green and Gold Insider here. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. The Jimmy Graham contract sort of revealed over the last couple of days, too. That looks like a friendly move where the Packers, I mean, it's essentially a two-year deal. They can cut him. There's a cap hit of about 3.5 after that third year. But this is a move where the Packers, in a lot of minds, maybe said, Jordy, no, Jimmy, yes. So they made that move. They miss out on a cornerback so far. They get Wilkerson. Up to this point, would you say this free agency period has been a success for the Packers, or have they left a little bit on the table?
I think overall it's been productive for them. I think that adding Jimmy Graham was an important piece because he's a wide receiver. He's not a tight end. So, you know, the spot that Jordy Nelson took on the field will be Jimmy Graham's spot. So you essentially swap those two, as you said. And it's a pretty friendly contract. It's actually a one-year deal. It's a three-year deal, you know, in total, but it's really a one-year deal because he has a roster bonus of several million dollars at this time next year. So the Packers could release him prior to this time next year, and they wouldn't have to pay him that several million dollar roster bonus. So it's really, let's see how you do this 1 year, and if you do well, then we'll pay you that several million dollar bonus and keep you on the team for 2019. And then the Wilkerson side, numbers on that I haven't seen yet, but you're adding a guy that has had a ton of pass rush ability from the inside, and now the Packers could arguably have one of the best defensive, you know, fronts in the league, right up there with, you know, Minnesota and teams like that in terms of their ability and the athleticism that they have up there. You know, obviously I think there's something left to be desired at the cornerback position, but I think, you know, clearing the cap space that they did and signing the two players that they did, those were positives for the franchise.
Yes, the Jimmy Graham deal, which you guys detailed this morning, it sounds like if the Packers want to get out of it after 1 year, let's say it wasn't working out, it wouldn't really hurt the salary cap or hurt them financially?
I mean, it would hurt them a little bit because there'd be some dead money going mm-hmm. into next year. But yes, it's essentially a one-year deal where if he doesn't play well, the Packers can release him prior to the start of the 2019 league year, and then they don't have to pay him the roster bonus that's due 3 days into that year. So it's essentially, you know, play well this year and we'll keep you around. If you don't play well this year, we might release you.
Michael Cohen, you can find him at PackersNews.com, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as well. Check out his podcast on Twitter, Michael_Cohen13. Mike, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike. Have a good rest of your day.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. Frames, a lot of brackets busted over the weekend. Email after email, I kept getting alert on my phone, too. It said, your pick is losing. Do you want to change North Carolina? I thought, North Carolina lost. Mm-hmm. The 5-hour energy brackets, if there was ever a year to show why there's this new way to play these brackets, this was the year for it.
Sure.
Really fun weekend, but even more fun, if you have the ability to change your picks, and that's what you had, you can still play along with the 5-hour energy brackets, 1057fmthefan.com.
Yeah, the field this year, it was tough. I mean, it always is. It always is. But this year, I mean, as we saw this weekend, especially yesterday too, just how difficult it is. And you know, when you have a chance to change your picks, that's always a great way to go. But, I mean, you're also faced with a decision. Like the Virginia game on Friday night. They're down 12 points with about 5 minutes to go. It's like, boy, do I change my pick here? Or is Virginia the better team? Are they going to make a comeback and win? I mean, I told Shannon, I said, stick with Virginia. They still might win this thing. And, of course, you know, they didn't. And, you know, it worked against her. But I just, yeah. But I mean,
stop giving bracket advice to people,
well,
man.
At least, hey, most of the time it's okay. But this one was, well, come on. You're thinking, hey, you got to stick with Virginia there, though. See, that's the case where I would say, okay, I would bet more on Virginia to come back from 12 down with 5 minutes to go than I would think Maryland-Baltimore County could hold on and win that game. Turns out Maryland-Baltimore County not only, you know, they're up by 12, they won by 20. They actually increased in their league because Virginia just fell right in the tank. But any way you look at it, 5-hour energy is the way to go. If you need some help to get you through the day, 5-hour energy helps you feel alert and energized. Each shot was packed with vitamins, nutrients, and about as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. I'll tell you what, was going out on Saturday night, had a shot right around 5 o'clock, took me right through the rest of the night. You know, this stuff is good on weekends, too. Like a Saturday night, again, you're going out that night, you got something going on, you might feel a little exhausted from the whole week that might be piling up like me. Boy, I took one Saturday night, and I was good to go for the rest of the night. 5-hour energy. Drink it in seconds, feel it minutes, last for hours. 5-hour energy, get back to 100%.
You know, it also doesn't taste bad either. There's like, how many flavors are there? There's dozens of flavors, 15, I feel.
I'll tell you. My favorite is grape.
Grape?
Berry, second. Pomegranate, third. But lemon lime is also good.
what are you drinking today?
Today I had the, this is, I took it, geez, 5 minutes before the show. Berry.
Berry.
Yeah, berry.
It's a berry Monday.
It's a berry, berry Monday, yes.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I was challenged to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to do that. I'll explain next.
St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said, it came to me upon a midnight clear. He said, I finished writing all of my gospels. Now all I seem to want is sex and beer.
All right, you still haven't answered my question. This is Chuck and Winkler. I asked you about what's the appeal of Pat McCurdy.
Get Cody out here.
Well, I asked you. You tell me. I asked you a couple times, and you keep you play the music, and you tell me.
This is a great song, man.
Oh, it's a great song? Okay, tell me what's the appeal of him.
Some guy called Cody about an hour ago, because Cody said he didn't know either.
Okay.
I just know Pat McCurdy from, like, festivals.
Okay.
And I don't know. Some guy, like, gave Cody a history lesson on McCurdy.
Okay.
Yeah, he said it was for Freems, though, because Freems was saying, why is this guy famous?
Okay, I don't get relay it to him.
So basically, this guy called in, and he told me why this guy's famous, and I can't even remember
Bart can't tell me what this guy's going to... Because you don't... You're baffled, too, I take it, Bart, because you don't have an answer.
Look, he's a guy that people... I told you why he's... People in Wisconsin like people they recognize. That's it.
Okay.
The guy, he's been around a long time.
So guys who are around a long time, people like.
Why do people flip on us to lard and lard in the morning?
Who?
Lard and lard?
Because they've been on the radio for a million years. Oh, I like them. No, you don't. You like us. Your dad likes them, okay? Okay. That's why they're still stuck on your radio, because you got the car your dad gave you.
So there's nothing else to do. Let's go see Pat McCurdy tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, transcends all ages.
Chuck, Wisconsin likes familiar.
He's like today's Beatles.
I've never heard of him.
Well, it's been around a long time.
What was your history lesson?
I don't remember. He started a band here in Milwaukee, and he got nationally famous.
He did?
Started the T. And then he went
tokens?
On, I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, me either.
I just know he's been performing forever. Like, you'll be driving around town, you can say, oh, Pat McCurdy here Friday night. And you go in, and it's the same. I'm sure he's got the same people at every concert or whatever it's called.
Kind of like how you are with REO?
Well, yeah, we're talking about REO here.
He's been with the Yipes.
The Yipes, okay. That was it.
The Yipes.
Sorry, the Y, not T.
Never heard of him.
The Confidentials.
Okay.
And he's been putting out solo albums since 1989.
So for the last nearly 30 years.
He was asked by the Packers to write a song to play in their stadium. Originally, he objected because he did not like sports songs, but he then came up with I Love the Green and Gold.
You know, like sports songs, then he paid him some money.
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's where I'm going to put my money.
He's not probably a nice guy.
Well, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I said I'd offer him Perkins if he came in. I've got his manager's email.
Okay.
Here's the email that I have written. Sir, we are spitballing names/bands to be a house band for a day on our show to play songs out of commercial breaks. What would the rates be to have Pat in studio for this for either 4 hours from 6 to 10 or for 2 hours, maybe from 8 to 10?
Plus, you're asking the guy to get up early in the morning.
Right. I'm thinking, like, opening day. What better way to have day?
But he's probably got a gimmick on opening day.
But he could come in here from 6 to 8.
He might be performing at somebody's deal at 6 to 8. He had two gigs on Saturday. We had Janesville and, you know, Muskego.
Well, I'm going to at least get a rate quote.
Well, let's do that. Maybe we can get him for a half hour. Hey, he's in popular demand, man.
What would that rank among in-house guests?
Oh, like at the bottom, but still.
Yeah, I mean, let's not put him up there with Charlotte.
Go from Braun Strowman to this guy?
Yeah, or John Henson. Or Braun Strowman, yes. Or Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Sent. The email is officially sent.
Okay, all right, we'll see.
I'm going to be freaking out.
There's another radio guy in town, morning guy, who just fawns all over this guy every time the guy has him on the show. But okay. Well, he's not going to come on our show now.
Why?
I've just said I don't get the appeal. You think he wants to come on our show?
I feel like Pat McCurdy goes anywhere where the money is.
We don't have any money to pay him.
Chuck, that's why I'm getting the rate quote.
Okay. You don't have any money to pay him. You lost all your money to me. I lost all my money playing blackjack. So you and I have no money.
We'll do a GoFundMe.
Okay. Yeah.
Something like that. Hey, on Friday, I didn't expect this. You weren't here. But we found out all about your whereabouts thanks to a new guy that we apparently hired at the station, Steven Newsman.
People were texting me and asking me, who is this guy who's following you around and knows what he's knows your whereabouts when you're not at work?
This is Steven Newsman with another Chuck Freeman Day Off Update. Chuck is about to finish watching 50 Shades of Grey, getting ready to put 50 Shades Darker into his DVD player, and hoping to God they make a fourth movie. Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
So we knew all about your whereabouts. Steven Newsman.
This guy does some investigative reporting on my life.
But, like, about you.
Yes.
This is Steven Newsman with a Chuck Freeman Day Off Update. Chuck Freeman is currently thinking about golf, spring weather, and watching swings of professional golfers on YouTube. Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
So these were the updates that he gave us Friday.
I thought Peter Jennings was dead.
He's still dead. Those were the updates that he gave us on Friday.
Yeah. He didn't follow me this weekend around,
did
he?
No, he did.
He did?
He did.
Oh, God.
Oh. This is Steven Newsman with a Chuck Freeman weekend recap. Chuck thoroughly enjoyed seeing so many upsets in the NCAA tournament. He went and visited an old Dairy Queen sign in Wisconsin Rapids. He loved that 55-degree weather we had here in Lomira on Sunday. And most importantly, he became a new follower of @StevenNewsman on Twitter. Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
I did have to follow this guy because he's following me. Literally following me around. He followed me up to Wisconsin Rapids.
You weren't the only person he followed this weekend.
Uh-oh.
This is Steven Newsman with a special weekend bulletin. I have secured a one-on-one interview with Loyola Chicago's Sister Jean. Here's my one question, Sister Jean. Do you know Hall of Fame broadcaster Chuck Freeman? You're in the same pottery class on Tuesday night. Sister Jean, may I ask, please, one follow-up question. She's refusing any... She's refusing. Please. Well, this is Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
Steven Newsman.
Steven Newsman. Oh, appreciate it. Now I have to watch whatever I do.
You're being followed.
What? I saw a picture of him. Is that really him?
I don't know, man.
Steven Newsman's following me around.
Don't ask me like I know this guy.
Follow me up to Wisconsin Rapids.
People that follow you around professionally are like the last people I want to know. So don't ask me anything about Steven Newsman. Yeah. He would know where to find me, and that's at Perkins, home of Bart's Big Breakfast, where for just $7.99, you get 3 eggs, 3 strips of bacon, 3 pieces of sausage, 2 pancakes, 2 French toast, and hash browns, all for just $7.99. It is available any time of the day. So you can get this meal, which sounds like a pretty good breakfast option, as it's called Bart's Bigger Breakfast. You can get it any time of the day, as long as Perkins is open. Most around here open till 10. This is good at any Milwaukee area Perkins. And when you ask for the meal, they'll know what you're talking about. Bart's Bigger Breakfast. You wanted it to come back? It did, only bigger. All that food for just $7.99. And if you go today, you get everything I just mentioned, 3 eggs, bacon, sausage, pancakes, French toast, hash browns, and a slice of pie after 10. It's Pie Society Monday, that available at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is Steven Newsman with a Chuck Freeman weekend recap. Chuck thoroughly enjoyed seeing so many upsets in the NCAA tournament. He went and visited an old Dairy Queen sign in Wisconsin Rapids. He loved that 55-degree weather we had here in Lomira on Sunday. And most importantly, he became a new follower of @StevenNewsman on Twitter. Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
Yeah, there was one guy out there. I kept yelling my wife's name. I was going to go over and... Yeah. I think it's gotten a little much, to be honest. I think they need to limit alcohol sales on the course, so they need to do something, because every week it seems like guys are complaining about it more and more.
How about that? Rory McIlroy doesn't want alcohol on the course anymore. So,
okay, what is he complaining about?
The guy was yelling about his wife. Here's Rory again.
Yeah, there was one guy out there kept yelling my wife's name. I was going to go over and... I think it's gotten a little much, to be honest. I think they need to limit alcohol sales on the course, so they need to do something, because every week it seems like guys are complaining about it more and more.
Yeah. There are certain guys in these galleries that just get them out of there. I mean, if you're going to be that disrespectful to McIlroy, or this in the hole, or, you know, when a guy's in his backswing, it's ridiculous.
I've enjoyed, and Tiger's done this to the crowds the last couple of weeks. They're very energized. I enjoy a very energized golf crowd.
Sure.
And sometimes they're a little more energized than they would be because it's alcohol aided. I don't mind get in the hole. Tiger did have a bad putt 2 weekends ago, and one guy went, "Does your husband play?" I thought, what are you doing?
That's not right, really.
Some guy did that to Tiger right. 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Does your husband play?
Yeah.
I thought we could draw the line there.
Yeah.
If you're harassing these guys about their family, you can draw the line there. Mm-hmm. But I like watching golf where it's more than just, oh, good birdie attempt.
Well, I mean, you're talking
about yeah, baby!
Well, of course. Of course. The crowd should be enthusiastic. That's great when a guy makes a shot. But to get on a golfer... mentioned the guy's wife, or mentioned Tiger because of his personal issues that he had a few years ago or whatever. That's not right. Not right in any sport, but especially in golf. You know, it's just not good. And I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it was a warm day. Oh, it was a warm day down at the Arnold Palmer down in Orlando. It was really warm down there. And, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. When I was at the U.S. Open, I didn't notice a drinking issue with the crowds. I didn't notice people having too much. I thought people were great here in Wisconsin at any of the tournaments that have been here.
I went to the BMW last year in Lake Forest. I didn't get drunk because it was hot as hell, and the drinks were like $30. So maybe not limit alcohol sales. But maybe if you just charge enormous prices for them, that will... I don't think
there's enormous prices for them already.
I don't think anyone's looking to go to a golf event to get hammered.
No. Day drinking. But still, I don't know what can be done to fix the golf crowd, but I think it's all started within the hole. Some of these guys are just in their back swinging.
Ba ba booey.
That's ridiculous. And it's guys who are just trying to get on TV. You know, I don't even think they're golf fans. They're just trying to get on TV. Oh, did you hear my voice? So my butt, you know, just like the guys who are sitting in back of home plate, got their cell phones up there and they're waving and all that. Just, I think it's old after a while. And same with this.
Yeah, but if you yell "get in the hole" after the ball's already gone,
they're not cheering for getting a hole. They're cheering to get their voice on TV. They could care less if it gets in a hole or not.
You don't know that for sure.
Oh, they don't care.
Get in the hole.
Yeah.
They want to see it get in the hole,
sure,
man.
They do. No, they doesn't. Their loud, boisterous get in their hole is all about...
So when can you cheer at golf?
You cheer all the time. But when a guy is projecting his voice like that, he's doing it to get on TV. There's no question about my... There's no skepticism in my mind about that.
Does your husband play?
Does your husband play?
Someone said that to Tiger.
Did he leave a putt short? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know, the Alice... Oh, come on, Alice.
Tiger in the midst of this comeback.
Yeah.
He's golfing as well as he's golfed in years.
Does your
Gets a does your husband play.
I mean, it's just not, right.
It's not right.
I shouldn't even be laughing at
Chuck,
it.
Chuck laughs through the statement. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. The Milwaukee Brewers roster is becoming a little more clear. There may be a way to keep on Jesus Aguilar, although maybe not for long. Adam McKelvey from spring training, he'll join us next. Does your husband play?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.